Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, okay, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. Today's episode is going to be on YouTube as well, so if you want to check out the video, head over to my YouTube, Brian Keane Fitness, and you can check it out. I'm here with Barry O'Sullivan from O'Sullivan Fitness. How are you, Barry?
Not too bad.
So Barry was with me for the last couple of these freestyle episodes, so some amazing feedback through the podcast about people just basically where we were just freestyling it, talking about a couple of topics and just kind of going at will with it. So what we're going to do today is the main topic is kind of going to be flexible dieting. Should you eat Cocoa Pops? Can you use Monster? Can you eat Fulfilled bars and protein bars and still get in amazing shape? Basically, the reason we're covering this episode today is I open my Snapchat every day for a Q&A back and forth where you can ask me questions. And this is probably one of the most frequently asked things. Can you use Fulfilled bars? Can you use Monster? Can you use Cocoa Pops? Can you use all of these foods in moderation and still get into incredible shape? So I've got a couple of standpoints on this. Firstly, Barry, talk about what's your philosophy, because Barry works as a personal trainer and works with clients, and he's a lot of influence from me, but he has his own style that he works with people. What do you believe in? What's your kind of thought process on it?
Yeah, well, I think there's this perception that, you know, the likes of ourselves, we just eat chicken and broccoli or something every day. And I know you eat a lot cleaner nowadays, but you used to be a lot more like me where, you know, you'd enjoy your Ben and Jerry's or you'd enjoy, you know, bits of chocolate here and there. But what I say to people, I think the biggest factor determining kind of your health or fat loss or weight loss is kind of energy balance, essentially. So calories in versus calories out. So general rule of thumb, I say to some people, look, if you're getting 90% of your food through nutrient dense foods, and then the last 10% is, you know, something in the evenings as something you enjoy, maybe a sugar source, you're doing pretty well. But I think where people go wrong is they start off on the wrong foot. They start off with a bowl of cereal, and then they go from there all day, and their blood sugars are up and down, and just it's an overall bad start to the day. So I think just if you can base most of your diet, like, off, as I said, nutrient dense foods, lean proteins, lots of fruit and veg, good sources of fat, and then go from there and enjoy something, you know, sugary as a last priority, I think you're doing fine.
Yeah, so basically, it's funny because people that follow me and follow my social media or my Facebook or my Snapchat think that I'm very, you know, anti-fast food, anti-sugary foods, anti-processed foods. And the truth is I am. I don't eat a lot of those foods myself. But the reality is, it really comes down to person per person. Everyone's going to be different. I see the merits of flexible dieting. I see the merits of IFYM. I see the merits of clean eating. All of these things work really well depending on the person. Yeah. My personal philosophy doesn't, because, and I was that person, you know, the reason I feel so strongly about it now is I was that person. Like, you scroll through my social media from, you know, 2 years ago, you'll see that I was one of those generic fucking Facebook wankers with a Ben and Jerry's every week going, oh, fucking cheat week, like, you know, or cheat day. And that's the way I lived my life. The reality is now, having been a bit more in tune with my body, being a bit more along the health side, seeing how easy it is to stay in shape living this way, it's why I've kind of leaned kind of more towards this way of living. To be honest, when people ask me about Cocoa Pops and Fulfilled bars and protein bars and Monster drinks, the reality is I feel so strongly about those things is because I fucking did them. I used those foods. I used those drinks and I got in great shape doing it. You can. The reality is, at the end of the day, as you said, it is as basic as calories in, calories out. I'm not going to sit here and argue that. It's a little bit more complex, but the reality is if you have a maintenance calories of 2,000 calories that you need to eat to stay the same weight, and you eat 1,500 every day, you're probably going to lose weight. Your body composition can change as well, depending if you've got it 90% right and you've got a good training program. But the thing is, I argue on the other side, because having gone down the route now of avoiding processed foods and avoiding, when I say processed foods, I want to elaborate on this a small bit, because people have this thing with processed foods. It's not the processing that's the problem, because when I say processed food, people think everything gets lobbed into that processed food bracket. So there's some like raw organic foods that are processed, quote unquote processed. It's not the processing that's the problem. It's the actual what happens to the food when it gets processed. In order for it to be, to add in the preservatives and the additives that give it a longer shelf life, they have to remove vitamins and minerals and nutrients from the food.
So a lot of the time it's what it's lacking.
It's what it's lacking. There's the problem with processed food. It's because they're literally taking the good stuff out of the food and adding in shitty stuff, because that's what gives it shelf life. That's what gives it, you know, it can, you can put it on a shelf for longer. Food wasn't meant to be on a fucking shelf. Food is meant to be eaten.
That's what you say, empty calories.
That's empty fucking calories. And that's what's wrong with processing food. The reality is, there's some amazing raw, organic, and I feel like when I say raw, organic, it's like, oh, fucking health, fucking whatever it is.
Out in the field, like somewhere.
Yeah, out in the field, fucking picking up a broccoli stick and eating it. Like, the reality is, I'm just using that because it's the extreme example. The reality is, like, there's extremes on every side. But you can get foods that are processed that haven't had any of the stuff removed, any of the good nutrients removed. That's not where the problem is. The problem is in the shit. And the reality is, a lot of the stuff that get added is like salt and sugar and different shitty fucking fatty trans fats get added to the food because they increase the shelf life, they increase the taste, and that's where the processed food will fuck you up. The thing is, when I talk about Cocoa Pops and I talk about Fulfill Bars and Protein Bars, it's not those foods that's the problem. It's the overall context. The reality is, and I've talked about this in other episodes about a hammer nail. I was like, when you have a trainer, and there's amazing trainers out there, and there's some fucking shitty trainers out there that you'll work with, and they'll say, well, this is how you have to do it because this is what works. If somebody tells you this is the only way to do it, it's a hammer fucking nail. It means that when you have a hammer, everything looks like a fucking nail. You know, and that's the problem. When I say, when somebody says there's only one way of doing something, you gotta fucking run a mile. Because the reality is, there's 1,000 ways to skin a cat. There's 1,000 ways to do something. It's finding what's best for you. I personally, and I come across sometimes on social media, like, I hate Cocoa Pops. I fucking love Cocoa Pops. Like, that shit tastes so good. I'm just aware.
You just want to get the point across.
You just want to get the point across that be aware that it's not optimal. Like, I actually had a conversation, and this annoys me, that I've got a friend who's a nutritionist. She's a dietitian and a nutritionist. And she advocates using Cocoa Pops post-workout. And I'm like, you're a nutritionist and dietitian. I was like, fine, tell people they can use Cocoa Pops post-workout, but be aware it's not a healthy fucking food choice. You can factor it in and that's going to be okay, but don't have people believe that that food is good for their body because it's fortified with fucking B vitamins. Take a fucking B vitamin supplement.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that shit to me is crazy. And this is where the reason I get so annoyed about it is because people that are quote-unquote authorities or dietitians and nutritionists, and I'm not knocking them. There's amazing nutritionists out there and amazing dietitians, but tell people, give them the option. I'm saying you can have your Cocoa Pops, you can have your protein bars, just be aware they're not optimal for your body. You know, the reality is if you factor them in, I did this. I went through my whole contest preps when I was at like 4, 5, 6% body fat, and I was factoring in protein bars and factoring in Cocoa Pops post-workout.
It was keeping me sane. Yeah.
But I was training like a fucking animal. Like, I was literally training out. You've seen me train, you know, and it's... And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, no, I fucking train better than everybody else. It's not, but I train at a very, very high output for me, you know? And that allows my body to be like a sponge post-workout.
There's a
and
difference
like,
there. I think it ties in with the training as well when you say, like, there's a huge difference. Like, if you can, you've earned those carbohydrates or that sugar, fair enough, that's the difference. But if you're someone who's going in and not training that hard and then coming home and say, oh, I can justify eating this or that, and then wondering why you're not meeting your goals, there's the problem there then. And they're saying, but you said I could do it. Yeah, but there's other factors there as well.
Context.
You
know, context.
It's context. It's like people say to me, you know, just like you, can you have this? Can you have that bar? Can you have this bowl of cereal? I'm like, it's not just that. It's the other 3 or 4 meals you had that day. Depends on, did you train that day? What are you having tomorrow? It's an overall thing, so it's not a simple yes or no, like you said.
That's it. There's no, but nothing is a simple yes or no. Like, yeah, it's so
exactly,
funny, because every time I open up a Snapchat for a Q&A, BrianK019, make sure you're following my Snapchat, and I open up for Q&As, people ask me something, I'm like, well, that's context dependent, because everyone's context is different.
Yeah.
This is why my online program, thankfully, has been so successful, is because there's the program, there's the plans, there's everything, and then there's the group Q&As back and forth, where the context, where you ask me questions, and I can change things depending on
so
the
that's
context.
Why you find it so hard on Snapchat to answer it in 10 seconds, like,
it's
so...
And I can give a, and I always say, I'm like, well, this is context dependent, but the reality is, it's down to each person. Like, For example, if you're a fitness model or a high-end bodybuilder or somebody like that who's, you know, using performance enhancers or not using performance enhancers or using fat burners or not using fat burners, you might get away with Cocoa Pops workout and protein bars because you're literally nailing 90% of your diet and you're training really hard. I've had a girl who I used to work with who would literally have Cocoa Pops post-workout because she heard another trainer saying, well, I'll have Cocoa Pops post-workout. She was doing like 3x8 with 90-second rests and wasn't working for time under tension, didn't understand the concept. I'm like, you can't have shitty fucking foods on a shitty training program. Like, she, I don't know if the coach gave her the training program, but she said she had heard it from him. It's context dependent. You're not going to get away with it. And the reality is, as I said, I'm not hating on these foods. I'm not hating on protein bars and Cocoa Pops, but it's context dependent. I personally don't think they're optimal. That's it. The reality is, I am probably at one of my biggest, probably one of my leanest, performing at my best than I ever have in years. And I have under no effort because I've cut those foods. Like I've cut all my supplements that have additives and preservatives in them. Like I'll have a couple of pre-workouts and stuff if I really need them. But the majority of the time I've cut them and my cravings went away.
Cravings, you know? Energy, sleep. This is what I noticed as well. Because since my show, after my show, I was like, okay, we have all this munch now and you enjoy ice cream and all this. And I've noticed the week after my show, okay, I enjoyed the food, but my sleep went downhill. Like my energy levels, I woke up in the morning still feeling wrecked. Even after 8 hours sleep, feeling wrecked. And now, last week I cut out sugar again and I've been sleeping better the last few nights. So it has a knock-on effect on everything else. It's not just in the moment of you eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops, like we say. It's an overall thing, I think. You know, people say, oh, you know, my energy levels are up and down. It's like, well, what's your diet like? Oh, I'm having this sugar source, that sugar source, and there. That's probably the common denominator, you know?
Yeah, and the reality is, and it's so funny, and I say this to anyone that I work with in my online program particularly, is when you cut cravings, which is the first thing I do with everyone I work with, is cut their cravings. Because if you can cut your cravings, everything else is so much easier. Whether you're trying to build muscle, whether you're trying to tone up, whether you're trying to lose body fat, whether you're trying to improve performance, if you can kill your cravings,
you feel in control then.
You're in control. And what happens is when you kill your cravings, you have that knock-on effect, that compound effect, that snowball effect of better energy levels. So you're not reaching for foods and caffeinated drinks to bring your levels back up. Yes. If you're reaching for Monster because you need it, because your body's like, oh, I need sugar, I need caffeine, there's something wrong somewhere. That's your body's way of telling you, I don't have enough energy. It's because you haven't slept. It might be because, you know, you were had a long day or whatever it is. Yeah. The reality is, and I can't talk, and I'm not saying this to be like, well, this is the only way to do it because it's hammer nail, but I'm saying what was worked for me. The reality is, since I've cut those things, I haven't had a cheat in a quote-unquote cheat. I haven't had sugary foods in months because I've not wanted it. It's been purely down to a personal choice of not wanting it because I like the clearness I have. I have more energy. I'm sleeping better, which means I have more energy the next day. You know, like people follow my Snapchat. I'm even trying to reduce back my caffeine because that has that knock-on effect where you can't sleep at night because of its, I can't remember, it's an 8-hour half-life. So there's some in your system when you go to bed and it's going to keep you awake. Like all of these things play a massive role in your energy levels the next day. It's the knock-on effect. It's not the bowl at the time. My biggest problem with protein bars, and I fucking love protein bars. Like, I literally went through a phase of trying every single one and be like, well, this is amazing. The reality is, protein bars, since I cut protein bars, I haven't had a single craving. Now, my diet was good apart from I was having protein bars every single day, you know. But what happened when I cut them is my cravings went. And I've done that with people in my program where they'll message me back after a week or 10 days in the Q&A and be like, my cravings are gone. I'm like, what did you majorly did you cut? They're like, I cut my protein bars. And all the cravings disappeared. Yeah. As if overnight, it takes 3-4 days. Yeah. But as if overnight, they completely disappeared. Because what happens is, protein bars, because people are like, oh, well, fulfill bars have got low sugar. I'm like, but they're full of fucking polyalcohols, which are fucking worse for your body. Like, I'd rather have the fucking sugar. Like, you know, like those things. And they, what they do is some of them, like diet drinks are similar. They mimic insulin in the brain. So your body thinks it's getting sugar and releases all the fucking insulin and stuff in the brain. Your body thinks it's getting sugar and it doesn't get any hit of energy and it offsets everything, which means you get cravings later in the day. So if you have your fucking protein bar at lunchtime, and then you get mad cravings at 8 or 9 p.m. at night. That can be from the bar you had at lunchtime. But people don't draw the connection because they think that it's something else. It's all correlated. Causation. It's actually causation. It's caused by that as opposed to correlated where people think, well, you know, it could be something else that's causing it. That's kind of where my point is. I'm like, have your protein bar. Have your Cocoa Pops. Have your cans of Monster. Have these things. But factor them in and know that they're not amazing foods for your body. And if you can control the cravings on the side, because you got to remember, high-end fitness people, and I've got loads of friends in the fitness industry, some who I look at and I'm like, oh God, what are you doing? But people would be like, oh, well, I had my kind of Monster pre-workout, and I had my protein bar today, and I had my Cocoa Pops post-workout, and they put up their shirt and they've got fucking 12 abs or fucking popping glutes. I'm like, yeah, but you have everything else on point, and you fought those cravings. Yeah. Like, you're fair enough, your willpower is high enough, or you might be using or taking other things, your fat burners and stuff that may be supporting you more that you're not fucking seeing. Like those things. And I know as someone that was in that side of the industry, and now it makes me fucking annoyed because I'm like, you're putting shit out there for people to fucking see. And that's not the reality. Like you can't put up your fucking thing of Ben and Jerry's every week and leave people to think that that's why you're fucking lean. Yeah. I was like, that's not why you're lean. You're doing other things. You're using other things. And some people aren't. Some people are genetically gifted, train really well and have everything on point. But it's not necessarily everything you see is what you get. This is why I fucking hate the shit in the fitness industry that drives me crazy, yeah. is because everything what you see is not what you fucking get. And I know it as someone that was in the fucking middle of it and was like, whoa, is this what it's fucking like? You know? Because you're seeing something from fucking so-and-so ab fucking Instagram or so-and-so glute girl on fucking Facebook, and they're saying, well, this is how I live my life, and I take this supplement, and I do this, and this is why I'm lean. It's like, no, it's fucking not. I was like, you're not telling people the full fucking story. You're sponsored by people who are giving you money to say shit, which, again, that's not a knock. I've had sponsors. I've been down that route. Like, you know, but don't come across like this is the way to live, and you can have your protein bars, because not everyone fucking can. Not everyone's able to have the willpower and starve themselves and fucking just go to bed because I want to look lean in the morning. People have to have some sustainability. The problem with things like protein bars and Cocoa Pops and your Monsters and people saying that it's okay in the fitness industry is the fact that it's not fucking sustainable for everybody. No. You know, that's where my issue is with it. You know, don't preach it when not everyone can do it. It's a hammer nail. There's people I work with and I'm like, well, look, you're fucking 60% body fat. You can have a fucking protein bar. Yeah. You can have your can of Monster. You can
ticked
do it.
All the other boxes.
You ticked all the other boxes. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. You're so lean right now. But there's people that can't do that. Yeah. And if you're someone that's getting down, looking on social media and feeling bad because, well, so-and-so eats protein bars, I'm going to eat protein bars, but I've got really bad cravings. You know, you got to realize that maybe that's not the way you should do it. You know, everybody is different. I have 50 people in my online program at a time, and every single one is going to be different because everyone has different approaches, different lifestyles, different backgrounds. Some have come from body dysmorphia and eating disorders. Some are high-end athletes. Some are people that have trained for the first time. You can't approach everything with a one-size-fits-all because everyone's fucking different, you know? That's where I have my issue with it, you know? You get into a sidetrack on the fitness industry and it's just a thing that fucking annoys me.
No, I can tell you're passionate about it because you've been there. You know what it's like and you're surrounded by it and you're kind of at that point now where you're like, I don't want to be bullshitting people, and you see it every day. And it's the point then where obviously we're in the industry to help people, you know? So when people are putting this stuff up or giving this people this perception, I suppose, that, like, you know, oh, this is how you do it, like, and then I was like, why is it not working for me? I was like, well, there's so many different factors. Everyone is different. And again, it's not like you're saying you can't have it. We're not trashing Cocoa Pops, or, and I know you'd be more so on the side of, well, I don't take it, but I'm just letting you know why.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest part of it. Like, you know, I suppose you've been there, so you know the difference. Like,
I've been there. The only difference between me and the majority of other people, and there's some amazing people out there, I'm not saying I'm fucking amazing, and I'm literally just telling you because I'm someone that is in it, and I'm like, well, this is what it's fucking like.
But you have the mileage there to a certain extent with the knowledge. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know? And that's the only difference. I'm like, look, you can have all of these things, but just be aware that that's not why the fitness people on Instagram look incredible. You know, they'll just because they put up a picture of a Phil Bear doesn't mean that you should have, you know, two every day because it works for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of other things coming into factors, and this is where I have such an issue, because there's such a fucking thing in the fitness industry that there's like a blanket, you know, and this is what fucking annoys me, is because nobody talks about this shit. No one talks about the fucking the extra shit, the starvation, the eating disorders, the fucking drugs, the all this other bollocks that's in the middle of the fitness industry that no one fucking sees and no one talks about, you know. And it's one of these things that from the outside it looks amazing because you're looking in at fucking so and so with 1,000 million followers and fucking amazing abs or incredible glutes and fucking big boobs and a flat stomach. And you don't see what's going on there, you know? Like, social media is one of these things that people will can paint a picture on social media. And you can do that, like, you know, and I try and be transparent as possible, you know, as much as I can be. Like, and I'm aware it opens up my door for people to hate. Like, there's no split, and I'm aware people aren't split with me. They either love me or they hate me.
Yeah, you don't
like,
put on a mask.
I don't put on a mask. I'm like, fuck you, I don't give a shit what you think about me. Like, if you don't want to fucking listen to my stuff and you don't want to take BCAs and you want to eat processed food, I'm like, go fucking do it.
And that's kind of where I am in that transition at the moment, like we've talked about before. Like, you know, before, like this time last year, you care a lot more what people think. I would have. And now I'm coming to that point where I realize it doesn't matter. All that matters is your happiness. So if you're going to let other people affect you, so just be as honest as possible. Now, and I've been guilty of it as well, putting stuff up on Instagram where you say this or that. But at the same time, that's just me being me. I'm not going to put up chicken and broccoli 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I tell you, look, because people assume, like I said, like we don't, you know, enjoy our food. You've been there, not necessarily anymore. But it's this idea that, you know, oh, this is the perception. This is how they live every day. It's not always the case.
It's not always the case. People paint a fucking picture on social media. And I get this because I've done this. The only reason I'm so fucking passionate about it is because I've been that dickhead. I've been my life's fucking amazing. Look at me. I've got a great body. I've got a fucking good job. I've got all of this. I've been that fucking dickhead. Just scroll back to my social media fucking 2 years ago and you can see all that. And I'm like, I look back and go, Brian, you were a fucking twat. But the reality is, it's big, the reason I've been able to come out the other side is because I'm so far on that side. And I look at it now and I see people put up like, well, which fucking car should I buy? Should I buy a BMW or an M3? It's like, you fucking don't, you're living with your mum and dad. Like, you know, you're trying to put out there to the world because you've got 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 followers that, oh, I've got fucking loads of money, buy my programs because I'm amazing. It's like, you don't have money for your rent. Like, this is something that landed with me like a fucking brick to the head when I started doing like the Worlds in Vegas and getting in with that network of people. I'm like, these people don't have any fucking money. They're like, but they've made out on social media like they've gotten big houses, new cars.
Their priorities are twisted.
It's really not even priorities. It's they've literally painted a brand of how their life is. Which, and I was like, whoa. I was like, this isn't where I want to fucking be. I was like, I don't want to be this fucking person. Now, it was literally like a fucking brick to the head because it was eye-opening. It's not until you're in the middle of shit when you can see it, you know? And I was smack bang. I was at the fucking, I became eighth in the fucking world, in the world. And I was in the middle of that. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this isn't where I want my life to go. I've talked before of all the fucking, my life took a complete fucking U-turn when Holly was born. Like, and I went the other way completely. Like, I stopped fucking using the shit and taking the shit and putting shit into my body and went the other way completely and went towards my health and towards being a better dad and building my business and fucking helping people. I was putting up a fucking ab selfie every 3 days like every other generic fitness dickhead and helping nobody because I didn't fucking know. Yet, I had 10, 11 years experience of training, but I was like, oh, I can't tell people what I'm doing or they might be better than me. And that's what happens, you know? Whereas now I'm like, well, I'm just going to tell you everything I know. You know, because it's the law of reciprocity. The more you get out, the more you get back. Zig Ziglar says, you want to get what you want in life, help people get what they want. You know, and if you can live your life like that, you're going to fucking feel better. Like, I gave half of my donations of everything to Concern, to feed children in Africa for my last program. That felt better to me than fucking earning 10 times that. You know, it's the law of reciprocity. Yeah. It's like, you get to a certain point when you're like, you realize how fucking grateful you are. Like, I wake up every morning in a fucking nice house with living with one of my best mates. I have my best friends come over and visit me. I have a little healthy girl. I've got a fucking nice car, a job I love, and I get to literally do everything that I want in life. I'm so fucking grateful for that. And to be able to give something back is incredible. But the reality is, a lot of that comes from the transparency. So if you're... And I don't want to say this and be aware that I'm like, well, is Brian painting a picture now? Because you can come across like you're painting a picture. Yeah. This is how it is. And people that follow me know that this is how my life is. And I'm incredibly grateful for everything that I have. But for yourself, being grateful for the things that you have, surrounding yourself with the right people and using the right influencers and follow. Like I always say, and I'm the same with in business, have the people that you follow and follow them religiously. You know, if you follow every fitness person on social media, you're going to get confused. It's information overload. Yeah. You know, how did you find that?
Basically, I said that to you recently, like where I've gone through my Instagram and unfollowed like, you know, a few pro bodybuilders because I'm not getting anything from that. I still look up to them, but like when I scroll down to my newsfeed, like I'm following someone else like Gary Vaynerchuk or Ty Lopez.
Yeah.
I'm getting something out of that.
Yeah.
So, and as well, again, like for example, if I follow an IFBB pro, I'm looking at his picture, I'm saying, oh God, look at him there standing there with his huge arms and outside his mansion. That's a perception. Like his, I have to think, oh God, I'd love that life, but he's probably not that happy. It's that perception, that Instagram perception, I think sometimes. So yeah, again, like you were saying, follow people that you're going to get something out of, or follow people where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, oh, what do I have to do to get there?
But just, I always say, and this is so funny because we take advice from people and listen to people, and I live by the, don't take advice from somebody who you wouldn't trade places with.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm asking someone about relationship advice or I'm asking someone about business advice, and the reality is that Abe Lincoln said you can learn from everybody you meet most likely what not to do, and you can, but you gotta be like, I'm a big fan of the law of 33%, which is if you're the law of 33%, where 33% of the people you speak to should be, you know, above you, 20 years ahead of you and where you want to be. 33% should be your peers and people you're friends with, and then 33% of people that are below you, quote unquote, that you mentor and help. Yeah. You know, and if you can separate your network into that, you're going to have a really, really happy life because you're getting the best of everything. And social media is a version of that. Like, it's so important that, because I've talked about before, like, thoughts become things. What you put into your mind influences the thoughts that you have. And if you're following shitty people on social media or wherever that are making you feel bad about yourself, that's not putting positive things into your mind. And I've said it before on countless videos, and the same on this podcast, the same on videos that I do. I'm like, if I'm following you and making you feel bad, don't press the fucking unfollow. I don't want to be a parent of making somebody feel bad about themselves on their journey, you know? But you should be fucking so harsh on that. And the people that are making you feel that way, like, you scroll through your fucking newsfeed. I test everybody to do that after this episode. Go on your Facebook, go on to your Instagram, scroll through and see who's on there putting up fucking shit that's making you feel bad about yourself. Click the fucking unfollow. Because the reality is, that's what's going into your mind is going to make you feel shit about your fucking life.
It has a roll-off effect.
Of course it does. You want to be happier in life, surround yourself with people that are supporting you and becoming a better version of you. It's not, like, we overcomplicate life. You know, as I've said before, the way to be happy in life is find the things that make you happy, do more of it. Find the things that make you unhappy, do less of it. It's really that fucking simple at times. And I know it's difficult because it's hard to cut people and it's hard to, but it's easy to click a fucking unfollow button, you know? Like, that's a really, really simple thing. Like, I don't use social media with the exception of 3 or 4 people. I've got my 2 or 3 business people I follow. I've got a couple of nutrition people I follow and a couple of fitness people that I follow, and that's it. Now, I'm lucky in a position because of my knowledge in fitness and nutrition. I have context. So if somebody says something, I can be like, okay, well, I don't agree with that because I know that this makes more sense. Where the reality is, I can't do that with, say, business or wealth creation because it's relatively new. In the last couple of years, yeah, I follow people. So I don't have context. I don't have a contrast. So if somebody says something, I take it as gospel because I have no contrast point. If I want to learn about fucking flowers, I'm going to pick to the first flower person I see and I'm going to take their word for it. You know, that's why you got to be so careful with fitness knowledge, because if you don't have context and you're hearing fucking noise from everybody, you won't know what the fuck to do. It's information overload. We're drowning in information, fucking starving for knowledge. Like, yes, it's one of those things. So it's so important to pick your few people. And I may not be that person, you know, like, that may not be me. You may be like, oh, I don't like his fucking style. I want to eat fucking Cocoa Pops and Monster and Fulfill Bars and, you know, train whatever way I want to train. Like, that's fine. Then don't use me as one of your reference points. Yeah. But find somebody who matches up with your idealism. Exactly. And then use them, because they're going to support you massively.
Yeah.
Like, my entire life, and I can only offer this to somebody, and I'm only offering this because it's a perspective on where I am, and I'm very grateful for everything I have. But my life fucking changed the trajectory when I started surrounding myself with people who were supporting me becoming a better version of me. Like, the people I hang around with now either believe in my vision or are helping me get there. You know, I just flew back from the States. I'm so fortunate that I've got my mentors in California. I can fly over to them and I come back with a new lease of life every time because they help me. Your mentors may not be in fucking California. They may be next door. They may be your mom. They may be your dad or brother or sister. They may be somebody else that's a mentor in life that's helping you. Use them and get them to support you becoming a better version of you. Don't use the people on fucking social media if they're not helping.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of my takeaway point with it. So I suppose the take-home message this episode is, don't eat Monster, don't eat Cocoa Puffs. No, I'm joking. So the take-home message really is, you know, everything is case by case,
yeah,
you know. Monster, Cocoa Puffs, protein bars, all of these things work great, but it's within the context of the program. I don't use them because I don't think they're optimal. I prefer people not to use them because they cook cravings and you feel so much better, you know. And it's the same with if you're following people on social media who are preaching these things, and I'm not saying don't follow them. I know a couple of amazing coaches that use those, that actually use Cocoa Puffs post-workout in most of their plans, and they're an amazing, amazing coaches. But I personally don't agree with it. So, but find people that you're idealism matches up,
yeah,
and then follow them and pick your 2 or 3 people. And at the end of this episode, go on to Facebook, go on Instagram, and clear the fuck out of all the dickheads that are on it that are making you feel bad about yourself, because that's not going to help you. So I think we'll leave the episode at that for now. I want to say a massive thank you to my guest, Barry. Barry, where can the people find out more about you?
So you find me, O'Sullivan Fitness, on Facebook, O'Sullivan Fitness on Instagram, and Snapchat, BOSully92.
Awesome. So definitely go check him out on all of those social media platforms. For more about me, you can find everything on my blog on www.briankeenfitness.com. My Facebook, Instagram, YouTube's all Brian Keane Fitness, and my Snapchat, which is probably my most active at the minute, which is BrianK019. All my questions from the podcast come in via Snapchat. I open it up every day so you can ask me questions back and forth. I put my workouts up on there, so make sure you're following me on Snapchat. Massive thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic as well for the episode on the podcast. Anyone that's looking to get their podcast done, definitely check out Cullum at Voxonic, and we catch you guys soon. Thank you, Barry.